So I'm here in the wonderful workshop of Philippe Dubreuil, a luthier, who has recently returned to Brittany. Brittany is your original home?
No. I was born in Paris a long time ago.
Okay.
In a place is Bourg-la-Reine.
But returned to France after a very lengthy stay in...
20 years, yeah, I stayed 20 years in London. But I come originally from Haute-Savoie. Around Switzerland and all of that.
Okay. Yeah. So you're a guitar maker and repairer and all things guitars.
Guitar and all strings instrument.
Okay.
Yeah, I've done sitars, bass, or not just guitar. Everything you can have a strings, I can manage to do something. You know?
So tell me, you spent 20 years in England. Tell me where you were and why did you go?
Why I went there? Because at one point when I was around Switzerland and the things, they were not going fast as I wanted. And probably I've done all the turn you can do around there. It was not enough speed for me, and I think I have much more things to say, you know.
Right.
At one point when I went out of France, I went to Portugal and I direct a factory of a classical guitar. That's for 7, 8, 9 months, I think I stayed there.
Uh-huh.
But it was not my... it was really interesting because I learned a lot of things. Also, I was directing 30 people at the time.
Okay.
And then say to the guy, everybody knows how to do a little bit of job, but not completely a guitar complete, you know.
Right.
Then, okay, you do that job, you do a job, and at the end, it was a kind of big production, you know.
Okay.
Maybe, I don't know, maybe 200 guitar amounts or that kind of
thing. So, but like a production line.
Production, yeah.
Individual artisan.
Yeah. Well, that factory now doesn't exist because, comment s'appelle Joachim, the place was Guitarra Cigana. And the guy was, he was a distributor and he took the market of Spanish guys.
Yeah.
From Alhambra, imagine.
Okay.
And doing the guitar half price with the same quality, you know.
Right.
Then the Spanish, they kill him, you know.
Not literally.
No, not literally. He went now, we live in Brazil somewhere.
Okay.
And probably continue to do guitars or whatever. Right. Okay.
So, and then you moved to London?
Then after a friend of mine, because I went, it was probably in the start of the 90s, I went to London at one point, you know. Why you don't come to London? There is some work for you here. Neil, he needs somebody. Now he's in Denmark Street. He got a shop in Denmark Street. He's got so much work to do and they cannot finish it, you know. In my work, I work really fast. You know, I'm really fast. I used to have some other guy, they work in there, but it's the time they take the tea, they read the newspaper and all of that.
Okay.
Very laid back. They're good technician, but they're not...
they're slow.
They miss a little bit of fire, you know. And work also with... Brian Robertson, you know, is the guy who, and he was the guy who was playing the guitar with Thin Lizzy. And used to have another little shop. He offered me a place to do some repair and all of that. I was doing some fixing the guitar for him and have a place to continue the business.
Yeah.
After the boss, because he was not his shop, he was a kind of a guy, mafia maybe, you know, who used to have the shop and invest in different kinds of things. It was no more interesting to do that, then he has to move to Denmark Street.
Right. So just for our listeners who may not know, but Denmark Street is the Tin Pan Alley of London.
Yeah.
It used to be the music capital of London. It had... dozens of music publishers there, which would have grown up in the 20s and 30s and 40s, I guess, and became, I guess, during the 60s and 70s, it became the sort of guitar
place,
capital as well, didn't it?
Yeah.
So there were lots of guitar shops there, and I remember going there for guitar repairs at Andy's workshop, and you worked in a place... next door or
No. I didn't work for Andy. He used to have a workshop special for the repair, that was Neil, the guy who was in Croydon, moved there, And bon, I find myself in the middle of the center of music business. The first year, they were really cool, but bit by bit, really changed, you know. The rent, they went up and all of that, the greedy people and all that. And now, bon, Denmark Street.
Well, it's just the front now, isn't it? They pulled down everything behind it. They kept all the frontages, but it's all new buildings behind.
Yeah, bon, the 12 bar is gone. Used to have some other little club every night, so 2-3 bounds. Yeah. It was fun. You know,
so you were in Denmark Street really in the funky times when there were loads of guitar shops and people coming to get their guitars repaired, people getting guitars built. You must have run into some fairly famous celebrity guitar players down there. Were there some
all the famous celebrity? I probably work for them, you know.
Okay, right. Yeah. So I guess we'll have a good story. Is there a celebrity who was terrible to work for, or was there somebody who was great to work for?
It's money also, you know, terrible or not terrible. Bon, I need to make my living, you know. Some of the guys, they were really famous, also the prestige to do something. Bon, I got some guys like Edwin Collins, who repaired some guitar for him, and the big one, Oasis, BDI, after more or less all the people, they're really famous in London now, you know.
And they come to London to get the guitars done, yeah.
Yeah.
So what made you decide to leave London and come back to France?
Bon, Denmark Street are really close. There is those guys. That road belong more or less to one or two people, you know. Bon, they're just interested by money.
Yeah.
They make people believe, okay, we love the music, we're going to keep the things running. Well, it's nice to have that kind of vibe, but they really don't care.
No.
They're going to do some McDonald's or whatever, who pay more money, and some hotel deluxe or whatever. If you want to have the vibe, but to feel like a rock star, go to that hotel and you pay $5,000. And bon, all those guys, they were doing some little job and really putting the real life on it. They all gone.
Yeah.
The shop, they shrink also, you know, on the back. If you go to that shop where the Rolling Stones and all of that, now shrink of off, you know.
Yeah, of course, we should say also with when I mentioned earlier that the publishers had their offices there. And during the 70s, I know, and 80s, in fact, there were recording studios too, weren't there?
Yeah,
in Denmark Street.
Yeah.
So the publishers would have studios for people to record demos in. And many, many bands, many famous bands, made their first recordings in Denmark
Street. Black Sabbath, they record in a region. Sound, the Stones, Tin Pan Alley Studio, the Pretenders, about the Sex Pistols, you know, they were squatting in front of the road, you know. Now the shop is, the name is No Tom. They really have a story. David Bowie, was his favorite cafe was on the corner, and Jimi Hendrix, you can see Jimi Hendrix coming in the shop and looking for some guitars and all that shit, but now all that is gone. It's la façade, you know.
Yeah, so you're back to France, and what are your plans here? What are you doing here?
All my career is done. I don't think I'm going to find some people more famous than I did, you know, in the past and all of that, because I make guitar for Iggy Pop, for The Cure, for Aerosmith, for ZZ Top, for nearly everybody, you know, of my generation, you know.
Yes.
The music with the vibe of that time.
Yeah.
I probably met them all, you know, and do a work for them or make a guitar or whatever, you know.
Yeah. Okay, so you're back here in France. You've set up this lovely workshop here. You make some pretty interesting guitars.
I'm a kind of a... I don't like repeating stuff, you know.
Right.
I'm a creative guy, you know.
Okay.
And I just love to do some unusual instrument if the guy has got the idea and all of that.
Yeah.
I know there is a lot of interest now because the people, they look for some guitars, vintage and all of that.
Relict. Relic guitars.
Bon, I do that, you know, also pretty well, you know.
And so I'll just explain to our listeners who might not know that relicking a guitar is taking a new guitar and making it look as if it's been played by some old blues man for 60 years.
Yes.
You knock all the varnish off and scratch it and make it look well played. And it's a bit like buying a pair of Levi's that have been stonewashed and got holes in them, isn't it?
Yeah, it's that. But there is a technique. It could be really done well or really bad, you know.
Yeah.
Some people try to do that. It's a question of, also of varnish, how to dose the varnish and all of that.
Yeah.
It's like an alchemy, you know.
Right.
It's not just a scratch it and banging the guitar everywhere, you know.
Okay, Philippe, thank you very much for talking to me today. It's been really interesting. And here's to more great guitars.
Yeah.
Cool. Thank you.